You again. It's really nice to be inside. We had another minus 28 last night, and I know you've never hit such depths of woe where you are. We're hoping that the full moon is gone now, it's on the other side, and it's the last day of January. Spring is just around the corner, and we'll be looking forward to it getting a little bit warmer in this part of the country. If you have your Bibles, turn with me again to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We have a number of weeks now been looking at verse 18, and let me remind you that these verses, verse 18, among many other places in the New Testament, tell us of some of the credentials of the Messiah when he comes, what kind of things are going to happen. He's going to prove himself with his miracles. He said on one occasion, if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do. There were undeniable works. And I do want to remind you that the forerunner himself, John the Baptist, in prison, said to a couple of disciples, he said, go ask him. Go ask him if he is the one, or should we look for another? I mean, my goodness, think about it, folks. Here's John the Baptist. I mean, even Jesus said, no greater prophet born among women than him. And He's been filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. He is the announcer, the forerunner, greater prophet, etc. And he says to the disciples, he said, come here for a minute. He says, would you just go make sure this is the right one, or should we look for another? Now, if that doesn't encourage you, you see, people like John the Baptist and people like Elijah and people like Peter and people like Paul, I just want to tell you something. They were just like the people I see on this screen this morning. They're just sinners saved by grace. It's all they are. And do you ever have a doubt? Go like this. Well, I'll tell you, John the Baptist had one. So the disciples go and they ask the Lord Jesus, said, John wants to know, are you the one? Let me read you what the Lord Jesus said. He said, go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard. And this is what Jesus said. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. I find it interesting that everything in life for us, everything, is faith. It's faith. You're just like, well, if we just had a sign, well, he's given us signs and signs and signs and miracles and miracles and promises, and but you gotta believe it. I mean, you would probably think to yourself, if I just lived in Jesus' day, if I could just see him walking and touching the blind man, if I could just see him raising the dead, then well, let me tell you, John lived in that day. And John said, just go make sure. And so Jesus said, tell him my credentials. remind him what the scripture said about the Messiah when he comes, and tell him what you see. It is happening. It is happening. Scripture is being fulfilled. I am doing all the things that the prophet said the Messiah would do. Happy are those who have no doubt about it. So let's go to our text now in Luke 4 and 18, because we don't get it all here. These are not all the credentials, but these are the ones we've been focusing on for a few weeks. Let me put you in the setting again before we read it. The setting. At the end of chapter 3, Jesus has been baptized. Chapter 4, he goes into the wilderness for the temptations. After he completely wins the day in the temptations, defeats the enemy, settles the question once and for all. He's the most qualified person in the universe to go to the cross for you. He returns in verse 14 to Galilee. From Galilee, in verse 16, he comes to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was the custom, this is worthy of comment. I've read over it several weeks, but just notice. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Jesus had a good tradition and he had a good custom. And that meant on the Sabbath day, he'd go in the synagogue. Now, we're not Jews and we don't worship on the Sabbath. Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, and the New Testament tells us that's when the disciples gathered, on the first day of the week. But let me say, if it is a custom for you to meet with the Christians on the first day of the week, you're in good company, because when Jesus was on earth, it was a custom for him to go to the temple, the synagogue, on the Sabbath day. And those are just good routines to have in your life. And so he went there on the Sabbath day, verse 16, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. What that means is they were staring at him, okay? And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And we'll end our reading there. We have worked our way down through several points in verse 18. I find it interesting that the beginning of verse 18, you can see the Trinity. Now, I wasn't smart enough to come up with this myself. Somebody pointed this out to me. The Spirit of the Lord, all capitals, Jehovah, is upon me, Jesus. You got it? The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are involved right there, because he's anointed me. And then we got into those five things I suggested last week. Some of you maybe only have four things. You will remember that scripture in its very nature is progressive. What I mean by that, one verse doesn't cover it all. So we read the scripture, we compare scripture with scripture and we get the whole thing put together. And so what we are about to read, that is those five things in the New King James or the Old King James, maybe other versions, some versions only list four things. That's okay. And when we read Isaiah, it doesn't list them all either, from which the Lord Jesus now quotes or references to, okay? But the things that we looked at were simply references to the work of the Messiah. I will remind you that we started this off several weeks ago by suggesting the why did the Savior come? And these are some of the reasons why he came. Preach the gospel to the poor. We talked about it. Heal the brokenhearted. We talked about it. Proclaim liberty to the captives. Talked about it. Recovery of sight to the blind. Talked about it. Set at liberty those who are oppressed. Talked about it. I remind you, in every one of these manifestations or characteristics of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus has a personal experience. The one who was rich became poor. He knows about poor people. He knows about humility. He knows about meekness. He knows about poor in spirit. These are signs of the Messiah coming to preach to those people. He can preach to those people because he identifies with those. Tempted in all points like as we. Faced things like we face. Saw the situation from ground level, eyeball to eyeball, face to face, situation to situation. That's our Savior. Heal the brokenhearted. You think he wasn't brokenhearted? He wept over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he said. My people, I've sent the prophets. I've sent my messengers. You wouldn't hear of you. I wanted to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks. I would. You would not. Brokenhearted people. Oh, the Lord Jesus. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, set it at liberty the captives. He knows what it is to be taken captive. He knows what it is to have a crown of thorns smashed on his head. He knows what it is for those with clubs and swords to come and take him away and put him in prison. He knows about that. Recover the sight of the blind. I reminded you that last week that there was a time they blindfolded him. You remember that? They put a blindfold over him, then they smashed him in the face and he said, prophesy, tell us who hit you, you know, mocking, scorned, belittled. Yes. And to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, bruised, oppressed, put down, all of those things. We went through them. I remind you, I can't get away from them myself. This is impacted my appreciation of the Lord Jesus. I hope it has impacted your appreciation of him. So I want to read verse 19 today, and I don't want to bring to a close this little series of the manifestations of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Just for a moment, we read in verse 19, he's still speaking, he's still standing, he's still reading from the book of Isaiah, verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book. Then he sat down, or he gave it back to the attendant, and then he sat down. Now, go with me. Hold your hand here. We're going back now. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. We want to read in where the Lord Jesus is quoting from or reading from in his scroll, his book, that day in that synagogue. Isaiah 61. and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, not period. That verse is not completed yet. There are other things in that verse. However, you will remember that when the Lord Jesus in the synagogue at Nazareth stands up in the presence of the congregation, he finishes the reading with half of the verse, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, let me suggest something for you. The Lord Jesus as the Messiah, we talked about it earlier, way back a few weeks ago. He came as the Savior. You remember that? 24 times in the New Testament, the word Savior is used. 9 of those times connected with God. Verses like, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, or God, our Savior, something like that. Connecting God and the Lord Jesus as being one. We know that. They're the same person. God steps out of heaven in the person of Jesus Christ, born as a babe in Bethlehem. But twice out of those 24 times, almost uniquely, we read these words, the Savior of the world. Not just the Jew. Oh, he came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. And then the door of salvation is opened. And as many as do receive him, to those he gave the right to become the children of God, to those that believe on his name. The Savior of the world, 1 John 4 and 14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, Oh, dear friend. Now, I'm suggesting that the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 4 finishes his reading with the acceptable year of the Lord, because this is dealing with his first coming. That is, he came to be the Savior, Savior of the Jew, Jew first, then to the Gentiles, Savior of the world. And this reference, acceptable year of the Lord, is a reference to the year of Jubilee. You might remember that. I don't have time to get into it, but every 50 years, everything went back to default. If you had a mortgage, it was canceled. If you had a debt, it was canceled. If you were a slave, it was canceled. If you had property, it'd come back to you. It was a year of Jubilee. It's how, I don't know if a world could operate on that way or not. I don't know, but it seemed to work for Israel. It was called the Year of Jubilee. It was a reboot, a restart, a gone back and start all over again. But in our understanding of this verse, by way of application, the Lord Jesus Christ says, and the acceptable day of the Lord, or acceptable year of the Lord, I think is the way he puts it. He does not go on to talk about the day of the vengeance of our God. Why? Because that is the next step in prophecy, not now. The day of vengeance is not now. The year of the Lord, the acceptable year of the Lord, is now. That's like the day of salvation. That's like the day of grace. That's like, I've come to do what? Well, heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free and the blind and the deaf and the lame and the dead. And I've come to do, it's the grace of God. It's the acceptable year of the Lord. I like the references, because it says that time, the grace of God, the acceptable time of God, where the Messiah comes, the healer comes, the Savior of the world comes, is an extended period of time. Day of vengeance. It's not the year of vengeance. It is the day of vengeance. Let me suggest his first coming represents the acceptable year of the Lord. At his second coming will come the day of vengeance. And so we see him declaring that the acceptable year of the Lord is here. In verse 20, when he closes the book, okay, and he gives it back to the attendants, I want to call your attention to verse 21. Today is fulfilled, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Those words were words of fulfilled prophecy. Isaiah declared them 700 and I don't know something years before Jesus was ever born. Jesus stands in the synagogue in Nazareth and he says, it's happening, like right now. I am the Messiah. I will proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And doing that, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to heal. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to raise. I'm going to set at liberty. I'm going to rescue. This is my mission. He's still doing that today. He's still doing that today. Is the day of vengeance coming? Yes. The day of vengeance is coming. Is judgment day coming? Yes. Judgment day is coming. But today is not judgment day. Today is the day of salvation. That is the reason, dear Christian, those of you who've just remembered the Lord and his death, that is the reason you need to get out into this world, into this pandemic, and tell the brokenhearted and the bruised and the crippled and the lame and the blind spiritually, there is hope. He is here. It is the acceptable year of the Lord. The day of vengeance is coming, but it is available today. Today is the acceptable day. Today is the day of salvation. I just want to close with this. At the end of verse 20, all of the eyes of the people who were in the synagogue that day were fixed on him. He had so captivated them by his reading. He had so captivated them by the way in which he promoted himself. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, on me, on me. I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. And then he said, it's starting, it is happening, it is today. I want you to go with a message. You can fix your eyes on him today. You can tell others to fix their eyes on him today. You can turn your eyes upon Jesus. I'm going to ask Roy if he will put up a song for us to enjoy.
No light in the darkness.
Father, thank you for the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Thank you when his own wouldn't have him, that he turned to the rest of the nations, to the Gentiles, and that Jew or Gentile today who would dare believe that he is who he claimed to be, the Messiah, the King, the rejected Messiah, and now the Savior of the world, will have life, not just life, but abundant. And so, Lord, send us out into this pandemic, into this torn human race that is broken and lame and blind and captive and bruised and thrown away by society, with a message of hope, with a gospel of peace, with a Savior who reaches down and says, I know you, I made you, I want to heal you and bring you to be with me. Oh Lord, please encourage thy people and encourage us to reach out for Christ's sake. Amen.